From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Using science to debunk myths. From the pandemic to climate fraud. Thanks for listening to Sky Dragon Slaying on TNT Radio.
Welcome back to our second hour of Sky Dragon Slaying. We're very lucky to have with us one of our favorite guests, Carl Herman, a National Birds Board Certified Teacher of the US Government, Economics and History. He's also credentialed in mathematics, and Carl has worked with both US political parties over 18 years and two UN summits with the Citizens Body, probably results. So he regularly writes also on his blog, carlbherman.blogspot.com. Carl, great to have you on your show. How are you?
Doing great, brother. Thanks for having me on. Great first hour with Michelle, talking about the systematic poisoning of our population, including, and I imagine specifically targeted, our school children.
Yeah, it's such an important thing. You, a fellow school teacher like me, you know, we have a vested interest in the future of our children. You know, they're the future. They're going to take care of everything. They'll take over all our trials and tribulations in good time. And we need to look after them. We should cherish them, shouldn't we? We shouldn't be poisoning them. We shouldn't be brainwashing them, talking down to them. But otherwise, you know, the boot could be on the other foot, couldn't it, one day?
Yes, indeed, and it will. And that's, I think that will be the theme of our talk here, is that it's the opposite. We're not feeding our children, we're poisoning them. We're not educating our children, we're indoctrinating them in propaganda. And pretty much every agency that you see created is going to be doing the opposite of what it says it is doing. This is a total Orwellian inversion. And at first, that would seem startling as an idea to people, but after 45 years of civic activism, I am professionally completely confident that I can explain, document, and prove that claim for the Orwellian acts. They're centered in war and what we use for money, but corporate media is totally controlled, and we can demonstrate they lie in all these areas, as Dr. Michelle so expertly demonstrated with what we call for food that our body considers as toxins.
Yeah, good point. And what we have to do to defeat them is we have to join forces. We need to collaborate. We need to see alliances where we otherwise would not see alliances. And it's always a good idea to always check out both sides of the story. And I do argue that, always look at your opponent's arguments, you know, give them a fair chance and welcome debate. And I think we've seen that in Principia Scientific over 12 years, Joe Olson. We've invited our opponents to come talk to us, haven't we? We welcome debate, but they don't want to come forward, do they?
Oh, they won't debate us on absolutely anything. And it's amazing. We have Carl Herman, who is a retired school teacher, and we have Joe Postma, who's functionally retired school teacher, because both of them resisted the COVID mandates. It's absolutely insane. But we are building a parallel universe where we're trying to have Truth University. And I just stumbled across a guy this week, which I had previously been recommended, Kathy Loves Physics and History. Wonderful little tutorials. They're usually about 15 minutes long, really well documented on the history of science, which it's difficult to understand science if you don't understand how the experiments went and how the experiments evolved over time. It's very important for science to be taught with history. You need to know how those particular experiments were performed. But I came across a new guy, Professor Dave Explains, and he's got dozens and dozens of YouTube videos. I just sent him an email this morning. Hopefully we'll be able to get him on as a TNT guest, but we will definitely be showcasing some of his material on PSI. And hopefully we'll get him to be able to join in with the Truth University. But he's been able to make a living just by doing tutorials on science, on the YouTube. So, you know, we are creating a parallel universe to counter the monopolized indoctrination of the present publication and education systems.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd like to give a shout out. You mentioned their Truth University. I want to give a shout out to Professor Gloria Moss, who's pioneering that idea. You know, Professor Gloria Moss is very well respected in the UK, and she bravely come forward and saying that, you know, our institutions, our educational institutions, have abandoned truth. They've abandoned morality. They've sold out to the biggest backer. they're financially corrupt. They don't have the vested interests of education. And it's very important that we work together. And Carl, you know, you should be one of our foremost experts on the panel. I mean, we're building up an international body of educators, people like you and I, you know, who've got a background in education. We've been through it, haven't we? We've seen over many, many years the demise in mainstream education. I did 20 plus years in UK schools. I saw the corruption of science. I resented having to teach this greenhouse gas theory nonsense, you know, the lies that we are a scourge on the planet. And my colleagues in the staff room were saying, why are we teaching this garbage to our children? Children were literally scared. They actually thought that they were harming the planet. It's actually fear tactics. That they do seem to work, Carl, don't they?
Well, it seems to work with about 98% of the general population who won't question what they're told. And it goes back to a quote from Leonardo da Vinci, I believe. David Icke uses this quote, is that there are three types of people: those who see when they're shown, and those who don't see. So with my experience as a public school teacher for 38 years is that about three quarters to four fifths of the students would be able to follow a factual argument. So for example, if I tell my students as a economics teacher is that our monetary system is a debt system, and I'll show you how it works, and I'll show perhaps a graph of the exponential growth of the debt curve. And when students engage in that and they start saying, yeah, if the debt is just exploding like that, how can they say we're richer? That would be like the opposite. And pretty soon, these students are now relieved and enthused that they're not crazy, that the feelings that they've always had of being captured in public school. I mean, think about this for a moment. We have our bright, energetic children. And what do? We lock them down at a desk to do puzzles on a piece of paper, almost all of which are just based on lies that we can demonstrate. And Carl B. Herman Blogspot, I have an 11-part documentary series that I title U.S. Public Education, Bullshit to Train Stupefied Work Animals. And all I do is go through the textbooks and demonstrate that these are not casual nor inconsequential lies, but intentional and game-changing lies of omission and commission that are the evil hiding of an empire. Because when you really take a look at U.S. history and U.S. government and current events, you can see that the U.S. is best characterized as a rogue state empire. And I have an 11-part series on that, looking through history and documenting that all these wars the U.S. engage in, they violate treaties, they're Orwellian. So the world that we have is the opposite of what we're told, and that has to, that it is required that they propagandize the children to make that work. And all of us, and I imagine all of our listening audience are getting a little bit squirmy that, oh my God, that really was my experience in school. Something really was wrong and I couldn't put my finger on it. But yeah, you get professionals like us and we can demonstrate that, yeah, they've been lied to. They were lied to.
Carl, I'd just like to really reinforce that point because that's actually what you just said about the education system and the way that the questions are set up to not really make any sense and to actually have lies embedded in them in a subtle way. That's actually a major thesis of my last book, Planet Wars, where I explain that, yeah, indeed, this has been a purposeful program. It seems purposeful, perhaps accidental. That'd be scary if it was accidental, but it seems rather that it's purposeful, yes. And the psychological term we're looking at here is actually called cognitive dissonance. So cognitive dissonance is being instilled, but here's the trick. So cognitive dissonance, it's mostly subconscious. You don't really detect it. You know, people who are like very high IQ philosophers are very sensitive to cognitive dissonance, and then they seek to figure out what causes the cognitive dissonance and then to resolve it. And when you do that, that's when you advance science, you advance philosophy, because you figure out where the problems are. However, for most people, cognitive dissonance remains subconscious. And what they're doing is they are stealthily and very carefully having the people become conditioned to the sensation, the feeling of cognitive dissonance as the sensation of being educated. So now, and this is what has given rise to this midwit class, what's known as a midwit class now. This midwit class is the average or middling IQ who think that they have the answers for everything. You know, they're typically scientific materialists and atheists. They are fully addicted to cognitive dissonance. And in fact, if you try to solve a problem for them, that then becomes for them uncomfortable. They actually don't want problems solved anymore. They prefer the state of cognitive dissonance because they've been so conditioned by it. They think that being in a state of cognitive dissonance, which means basically believing in two contradictory things to be true at the same time, you know, and so we have this in climate change, in the basis of climate physics. No physicist actually believes in flat Earth theory or thinks that flat Earth theory is legitimate. Yet at the basis of climate science, you have flat Earth theory. It's literally there. And if you try to point it out to them, their mind literally shuts down. It should be a very, very easy, simple cognitive dissonance to resolve, but they can't do it because they've been conditioned to think that remaining in cognitive dissonance is the more intelligent position to take. So now it has become self-reinforcing. So now we have a society of people who prefer cognitive dissonance. And once you have a society like that, we can do anything to them and get them to believe anything that they want. There's no reality principle, you know, living in society anymore whatsoever.
Wow. My older brother is a psychologist. He has his own psychological firm. And, you know, I did work 18 years with both political parties, up to two UN summits for heads of state, the 1990 World Summit for Children and the 1997 Microcredit Summit. And we discovered that the so-called former colonial leaders run a neocolonial empire, and they refused. The topic of those summits was ending poverty through domestic and foreign policy. And even when we could make a profit while ending poverty through microcredit, small loans to the poorest of the poor, and the topic of the 2006 Nobel Peace Prize, the so-called leaders reneged on every promise, public and private. And my brother told me, he said, "Carl, you're not going to end poverty. You're not going to fix education. None of that is going to work because you have no idea of the power of cognitive dissonance." My brother said, "You have no idea of the mental gymnastics that people will do to avoid reconciling the two different ideas. And if you're stating against what everything people understand from political leaders and what they hear on the news, they will reject you, and they will reject you in a way that is going to be tragic comic." And they do. In my last battle with my school district, Hayward Unified School District in Northern California on the East Bay, I spent 2 years challenging my school district over their so-called health, so-called orders. And it didn't matter that I was absolutely right that state law in California to trigger an emergency, which is defined as beyond control resources, which is what we were told at the beginning, is 2 weeks to flatten the curve to keep our hospitals operational. And then we got bait and switch to these fraudulent positive tests as the rhetoric, as the narrative of an emergency. And, you know, I would document this to our approximately 100 school teachers at Hayward High School, and the cognitive dissonance that exploded into ad hominem attacks is a stunning documentation of the challenge that we face. And I did document that. That is in a 59-part series of 2 years of communications and the emails. It was just extraordinary cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, it is such a good point to relate it to psychological types too. So INTJ types, INTP types, you know, we've discussed this on previous shows, typically were less than 3%, definitely less than 5%. It's around probably 2% of the population. Anyway, types such as that are very sensitive to cognitive dissonance. That's typically who makes up, you know, the really high level philosophers and in the past theologians stuff. So those types will purposefully seek out where the cognitive dissonance resides in their mind and look for answers. And so that's why you have this community like us, like on TNT Radio. And I think it was Gloria, actually, she did an analysis, Gloria, who's involved with this this Truth University movement. I forget her last name, somebody can mention it again.
Gloria Moss, yeah.
Moss.
Yeah, Gloria Moss, exactly. Yeah, she said she did an analysis on who are the type of people who go to these sort of meetings and events where we're presenting alternative information. And yeah, it's typically the by vast majority, it's the intuitive type, and that typically goes along with, you know, either the judging or perceiving type, obviously it has to. In any case, so you have a small percent of the population, though, who are sensitive to cognitive dissonance and will resolve it like you do, like we all do on this radio show. However, the opposite then is also going to be true. The vast majority of the population are feeling and sensing types. Feeling and sensing types don't mind cognitive dissonance. They love it because it's just more stimulation for them. So they don't find a problem with that. It just adds to the whole menagerie of the stimulation they get from existing in the world. So they don't feel any need to have to resolve it. That's kind of a bad situation, I suppose, for them, isn't it?
That's a very good point. We're going to round up the section there. This is TNT Radio. We'll be back after this short ad break.
You should hear what Mike Ryan's talking about.
The World Health Organization, WHO, have issued a warning on tuberculosis. The UN Health Watchdog says the number of infections is rising globally. And yeah, they're saying that about many of the diseases. I'm wondering whether it's because your immune system has been belted by the jibby jab. Just wondering. Sure, they might say that your immune system is kaput. That's why there were so many people sick during the Australian winter. And you'll find it will be also the same for the European and North American winter. So many people will be sick. I'm just wondering whether it is because of the vaccine shot in your arm and does terrible things to your immune system. In fact, what it does do, it just goes boing right on the head, knocks it right on the head, which also beckons the question, if that is the case, what's going to happen as we progress further throughout this year and next year? Do we have more people falling off the perch?
Mike Ryan on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
It's never a burden to fight for what's right. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome back. Carl Herman on the show. Find him at carlbherman.blogspot.com. Carl, I'd like to give a shout out to your recent interviews. You do lots of good work with Jim Fetzer, Brian Davidson, you had on the show last week. You know, you were talking about things that most of us know as in the current news. You know, this is topical news stuff. What's going on in with Russia? What's going on in Ukraine? The concept of a dirty bomb, perhaps over there, U.S. 101st Airborne in Europe. You know, is it American troops on the ground in Ukraine? Are we heading very close to World War III? What were your thoughts on that?
Well, my first thought as a professional historian committed to factual accuracy and with 45 years experience of really paying attention, my first answer is, I don't know. It's impossible to know. It's the fog of war. You can't know. We get reports from corporate media, and corporate media are proven liars. And that is, I have one published paper via the Claremont Colleges, and a group of professors asked me just to go ahead and write a paper explaining the empire. And historically, an empire is going to have three steps. You're going to control the political class, the government, to create policies that you like, what is used for money to enrich yourselves and pay your minions. And you got to have media and public education controlled to shape the message. And what we get is we get reports from the lying corporate media. So we don't know. We know that our opponents have never been as vulnerable as they are now. If Russia does go ahead and win and is able to expose vulnerabilities such as the biolabs, Anthony Fauci is a biological weapons developer. He's not interested in the stopping of disease. He's interested in culling the sheeple for the elite. Our masters engage in human trafficking. We have Hunter Biden, who is on the board of directors for Ukraine's Burisma Energy Company, earning $1 million a year as somehow an energy expert, when that is prima facie pay to play. So we don't know what is really going on. And that said, we have US and UK and NATO in the prima facie criminal position of expanding NATO with a color revolution in Ukraine in 2014 and 2016. You have Putin's peace terms, which are only one, no NATO for Ukraine. And that was previously promised and guaranteed by all the leaders of the West, not one inch further east. And the second condition for peace is independence for the Donbass. So in these color revolutions, the southeastern part of Ukraine split off politically because they didn't want a U.S. puppet. And the history of the world, and as a historian, I document this in the series U.S. Illegal, is that the U.S. takes over these governments, and you have economic hitman John Perkins with two bestsellers giving another documentation of how this works out. So Zelensky is an actor, literally and figuratively. This guy is a joke. He demonized and then criminalized his political opponents and any oppositional media in his company. So it's the opposite of the freedom that they say they support. And this war that we're in is that the West, the US, the UK, and NATO, they're trying to prop this up. And I conclude personally that they will, if they have the power to do so, they would bring the house down by claiming some sort of a either dirty bomb or direct nuclear attack that would then trigger NATO into their contractual obligations, their treaty obligations of universal defense for an all-out open war against Russia instead of a proxy war. So it's that's a long answer after I said, I don't know. But those are some of the stakes that I do see. And for sure, people should not get too upset or excited what they hear from corporate media, because it's a psyop.
Well, just further on to some of these rumors that you brought up, John, yeah, a couple other ones I heard was that, you know, a couple of divisions worth of the M1A1 Abrams tanks have now been sent through Greece. And also this diesel shortage is actually the result of a ramp up of production of JP8 fuel, using the diesel reserves to produce JP8 fuel, which is used, of course, in the military ground equipment. You know, so that'd be tanks, but then also all the Hummers and everything like that. So I don't know if those rumors are true, but they would sort of go along with what you said, John.
Yeah, and I like to watch commentators, and we refer to the two Alexes, who their channel on YouTube. We've also got the Duran. Very, very qualified people there. And, you know, they're talking about the T-62s that, you know, being taken out of mothballs. You know, the Russians are bringing out older tanks for the battlefield, and as if it's some kind of sign of defeat. And, you know, the two Alexes, Mercurius and so forth, on the Durand, they're saying, well, really, that's just to equip the reservists. There's like 300,000 extra troops coming onto the battlefield, they say, from Russia. And the truth is that the American system supplied, NATO system supplied, is very dependent on high tech. and to give M1A1 Abrams tanks to basically Soviet-trained Ukrainians is a complete fallacy, because they can't operate that machinery. They can't cope the logistics. The old Soviet doctrine is keep it cheap and simple. And Ukraine is although they say Ukraine's had 8 years of military training by NATO, they still rely on this old-fashioned style of you know, Soviet technology. And it's not going to change overnight, is it?
Yes, well, it may change. It may change overnight, because we're living in a watershed moment in history, just the same as we had in the Renaissance when Martin Luther tacked his 95 theses on the door of the Catholic Church in 1517. There's so much information now that maybe remote learning at school was a blessing. These kids got a little bit of a break from indoctrination, and they may be able to pick up some additional sources of information. As far as the diesel stuff, the United States did have 714 million barrels of strategic oil reserves. That's almost been completely drained in order to depress the prices on the gas pump for political reasons. And then you mentioned something about diesel. There's a great website that I found earlier this week, What's Going On with Shipping, it on YouTube. And the guy says that the diesel fuel in the United States, we have less than a 20-day supply, because the oil traders on Wall Street had a double the price for sending it over to Europe than they could get on the American market. And so the traders diverted U.S. production, which is over 400,000 barrels a day greater than it was last year, but they were shipping it over to Europe because they could get more money on it. And now we're facing a winter when a lot of people in the Northeast depend on heating oil, and they don't have the heating oil. And when they do get it, it'll end up being a hell of a lot higher. So these kids are getting a real world lesson in inflation. They're getting a lesson in supply and demand. And they're also getting a lesson in how hegemony rigs elections worldwide, because it looks like down in Brazil, Bolsonaro's got the military using Article 142, and they have arrested all the Lula, the fake president, and all of the councils and and judges that allowed him to steal the election. They said they've got the absolute proof. Expect tribunals down there. We expect tribunals to happen as far as the medical mafia that's been going on. So we're living in a watershed moment. It could be in just a matter of months, these kids are going to get an enormous education in what a renaissance can do for humanity, because the last renaissance was frankly wonderful.
And what a prelude to the midterms in the US, because that's going to be very, very revealing. We're talking about the massive red wave. You know, do we really feel that Donald Trump will announce he's a candidacy for president again? I mean, are we really in that type of times? I mean, the media, mainstream media, is not saying anything that suggests they're about to give up, are they?
No, they're just going to pile on. They have only one gear, and that's going forward. I was reading what was happening in Brazil and how it's being spun by corporate media. And of course, they're saying that it was the most secure election in history, the same as the Democrats said about 2020, which is the opposite of reality. And for our audience, just to give a heads up, is that I do think that we're literally this next week is likely to be a breakthrough one way or another. The Democrats are either going to have to try to postpone or have a false flag to justify a postponement of the midterm, or they're going to have to try to steal the midterms, because if you had any accurate counting of votes for the midterm, it would be the greatest party wipeout in American history. But the Democrats can't allow that, so they got to do something to stop it. And we could see any number of things happening. So in Brazil, the military will go ahead and arrest the leaders of the coup. Corporate media is going to cry out that that was a right-wing extremist military takeover of Brazil. They're going to say it's going to be the same thing in the United States. So we basically have the two areas where we're looking at is a civil war in the U.S. if corporate media and our opponents have their way, or it can be the Great Awakening, and that would require a breakthrough with resources out of our hands. That would be white hat military, which I'm at 95% certainty is happening behind the scenes, and they're going to have to create some sort of a diversionary event, enact the arrests, And then there'll be some sort of an emergency broadcast system to brief the American people on the lies and crimes that have been happening. But, you know, again, fog of war. My seat in the stands looking down at the game is very far away with blurry vision. But I still conclude that we will have some major breakthrough next week because the Democrats cannot allow a fair election.
Yeah, on your blog, Carl, you put it in black and white, and you kind of summed it up very nicely. It's not just a war in Ukraine, but it's the political war in the US for the midterms. You said the war is patriots versus psychopaths, truth versus lies, virtue versus evil. And you use those labels as the most accurate way as a professional scholar to provide an abundant and game-changing evidence among hundreds of authors in alternative media. And you're engaging in your articles in such a way that you do kind of align with what I'm saying in terms of the Great Awakening. That's the key term here, Great Awakening, isn't it? It's that kind of moment in time. It's apocryphal, isn't it, really?
Yeah. The title of my one published paper is Emperor's New Clothes, because that's where it is. The Hans Christian Andersen children's fairy tale is that all of the kingdom were told a narrative with no basis in reality. And if you needed to prove that the emperor is naked and not clothed, it would take some time. You would have to invest in writing out, and you would have to define article of clothing, and that it would have to be on somebody's body and not in ownership in a closet somewhere. It would take time to define the terms, and you would have to have the willingness of the general public to lift up their own two eyes and overcome their cognitive dissonance to look for themselves, and then have to suffer the responsibility of all that implies if they see that all the official information was the opposite of reality. And that is the cognitive dissonance step that is going to be required in order to have the Great Awakening. And in order to get to the Great Awakening, we need some sort of a breakthrough, an emergency broadcast system. Some sort of event is going to have to initiate this, because us talking on our own, we're talking to 2% of the population who can hear us only at this point.
Yeah, it's a fair comment. And the key here is that the white hats, we refer to them as the white hats. We can fairly say that these are the patriots, either the ones who are the bringers of truth, the bringers of openness and transparency. These guys who align with our way of reasoning, they're very mindful that they need to take the majority of the population with them. You can't just open the eyes of a few. Otherwise, as you say, we could be descending into civil war. It's the fog of war again. The fog of war will just set friend against friend. And, you know, there's the fact you're going to end up with a lot of collateral damage, aren't you? You've got to try and get your ducks lined up in a row before you start firing. And it looks as if it's very dragged out, isn't it? The setting up of the game, the end game in this masterful chess confrontation, it really is boiling down to the wire now. And as you say, it does feel like we're at the point now where it could be this November where the big dominoes fall, and I think you could be right. And I think us intuitive types, the INTJs, we're feeling that we're at that point now. It's coming to a head in Russia, it's coming to a head with China, and you quite rightly sent us a link. Central banks, they may be agreeing with us, because the gold is up 4%, silver up 8% in one day. You know, follow the money. They say the money men know. They kind of have their finger on the pulse, don't they? It looks as if we're going to get away from this fiat currency system, and we might be going back to the gold standard at this rate. What do you say to that, Carl?
Yeah, I did send you guys that article. And the central banks are buying up gold more rapidly than in any period in the last 50 years. There's a Zero Hedge article titled Central Banks Are Quietly Buying Gold. Those figures that I gave to you of the price of gold and silver jumping up 4% and 8% in one day for gold and silver. Wow. So historically, so Carl B. Herman, Blogspot, I have an article series called, or just an article, Looting Trillions. And in that, I demonstrate that our current financial system and the reason we have an exponential growth curve in aggregate debt and in government purchase debt is that is the mechanics that we have to create what we use for money as a debt, as a negative number added forever. And I engaged with about 2,000 advanced placement macroeconomic teachers on our listserv for about 15 years. Nobody can refute the facts. And yet, even among those professionals, importantly, the cognitive dissonance is so severe, none of them can engage very well on these factual topics or the implication of grasping that what we create for money is a debt, that this system will have to be into a great reset where the owners of the system will have to crash it, call it in, create a new game because the interest payments are becoming tragic comic. And yes, when the public recognizes that the jig is up, that this paper is just being printed, which it has been, is just being printed out, that's how come we get this escalation of inflation. And if you go to shadow stats, economist John Williams will take a look that the real definition of inflation, we're at about 17% if you use the definition of inflation that was present in 1980. So one of the things the oligarchs do is they change the definitions of these key terms in order to falsify the numbers. But yes, people will be flocking back towards hard assets. And historically, that's going to be silver and gold. And you can also see, sorry for having a lot to say, but the big financial boys want to get into the cryptocurrency market. They want to be able to create a new game. And really, one of the themes of what it is that I offer as a scholar who has looked into the heart of power for 45 years, is that we have to get sufficient public demand to arrest these psychopaths. We can document that their crimes annually kill millions, harm billions, and loot trillions. But without arrests, without the full truth, then humanity is susceptible to the same damages again and again. And hence, perhaps, it might be the very long setup of the show to demonstrate to the public, to show the public the bankruptcy, literal and figurative, of the system that they have been propagandized to believe in.
Thank you, Carl.
We could take
a break now. It's Joe, okay. It's TNT Radio. We'll be right back after this break.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
So just how dishonest and biased is the U.S. media, the mainstream leftist media who are in the pocket of the radical left? I'll report and you decide. Or in this case, I'll report what Nicholas Fondacaro over at Newsbusters has found. He and the folks at the Media Research Center compared the coverage of the recent attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband with the coverage of the assassination attempt on conservative U.S. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh back in June. And the results speak volumes. Coverage during the first 5 days of the Pelosi attack was 11 times larger than the amount of coverage given to the Kavanaugh story on the major broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC. 166 minutes and 16 seconds of coverage given to the Pelosi attack in the first 5 days, and a total of just 15 minutes and 1 second of airtime for the Kavanaugh story back in June. There is only one explanation for this, and it's spelled B-I-A-S. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A global program for digital identity supported by the World Economic Forum is well underway, but the mainstream media fails to report it and the dangers it presents to individual privacy and freedom from government control. Australia has a trusted digital identity framework. New Zealand has a digital identity services trust framework. And there's the Pan-Canadian Trust Framework. You get the picture. Governments clearly want our trust in this program, and several nations claim adopting digital identities will be voluntary, including Australia. But Australians were told COVID vaccines would be voluntary. That didn't stop the mandates. Australia's Digital Economy Strategy 2030 states we'll be succeeding when, quote, the significant majority of Australians over 18 are registered for MyGovID or other trusted digital identity, unquote. And that, quote, all new businesses are born digital through streamlined business registration. Is this really voluntary?
Billionaire globalist corporations will own everything. Homes, factories, farms, cars, furniture, and everyday citizens will rent what they need, if their social credit score allows. Lighting the fuse for freedom, TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome back to Sky Dragon Slaying. We're enjoying a wide-ranging topical discussion with Carl Herman, a professional historian with degrees from Berkeley and Harvard. Carl, back to Joe Olson. Joe Olson, I cut you off just before the break. What were you about to say?
Oh, yeah. The U.S. Constitution says that the U.S. Treasury shall issue coinage in silver or gold. And that's it. It doesn't say anything about any paper stuff. It also says that the House shall produce a budget every year. We have not had a budget since 2008. All they do is submit a continuing resolution to keep kicking the can down the road. So it's not going to be too much longer before this particular financial scam collapses. Putin has an approval rating of 90%. FJB has a disapproval rating of 90%. BRICS originally started out as Brazil, Russia, China and South America, South Africa, but now it's expanded. Saudi Arabia wants to join, and a whole bunch of other nations are linking up with them. So it looks like the hegemony of the counterfeit greenback is fixing to hit the end. And that will be another educational moment for our young generation, because they're going to look around and they're going to go, Jesus Christ, what a rubble of lies we've been living in on absolutely every front. And these things are going to be unstoppable. There's no way you can paper over what's getting ready to happen. And it's virtually unstoppable. So
that's such a key point, Joe. And just to emphasize the importance of what you're saying. And that's what I see, too. It's an emperor's new clothes moment. If you get a breakthrough in one area, then it's over, because these people are psychopaths. They have constructed an empire built on lies. The idea of Orwell, he's really gave us a heads up of the type of system and the organization of this inverted satanic reality. And we just have to pop it and blow it open and demonstrate that it's a lie. And all that said, after 45 years engagement, and only about 2%, that's 1 out of 50 people being able to engage seriously in these conversations, we do require some sort of a breakthrough. And once that breakthrough happens, then it's over in an instant. And I think that's where we're at.
It's a fair point. Carl, I'm looking through your blog, and I do like you've got a series of 9 points. American Revolution 2.0, and I think we're looking at that. It's a good thing to revisit, because if we are in a watershed moment, we need to reassess the role of the United States. And the argument that I think yourself and others have put forward is that the United States is a corporation set up by London, really to do the bidding of London and the globalists. And, you know, it's a fair argument to say that the evil empire is run from London. And anybody who opposes them, for example, President Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, they were all assassinated. And I think you've made a good point in your 9-point summary. And it's worth just sharing with listeners that, I come back to something I share with you. I like the idea of this Q idea. We had Kent Clisby on the show last week. Kent Clisby, a former CIA operative, he was a bit more open-minded. He was seeing the Q movement as somewhat perhaps a psyops, a clever psyops, again, a fog of war thing. I think you and I, we tend to think there's optimism there. Future proves past. As a historian, you know that looking at the past is very helpful for predicting the future. What do you think? Where do you think we're going with this thing?
Well, regarding Q, that's from 2017 and 3 years of posts, we can definitively say that it is a PSYOP coordinated with the White House, because we have the coordination of timing and vocabulary between a Q post and a Trump tweet. So the idea that they're linked means is that they're coordinated. So how much does Trump know? who knows, fog of war. But if you do consider that, as you said, our opponents have assassinated President Kennedy, his brother Robert Kennedy, who would have been president in 1968, and Dr. King. And I'm just one scholar who can lay out the documentation to definitively demonstrate, to explain, document, and prove that these were assassinations by the United States government, maybe working in coordination with other governments, but it was definitely a government hit job. So you get that going on, that level of evil, there's going to be a response. There's going to be a counter response from within the U.S. government. Let's call them white hats. And the idea of Q is that once they had NSA with the capability of getting all of the intel and the blackmail, if you were able to flip NSA from black to white, then you could blackmail the blackmailers. And the best evidence that I have, again, on these news shows that we have, that I have published, is you have here, Charlie Freak has an epic presentation of being able to, and I have the links here, of the takedown of the cabal from A to Z, I believe it is. And I have a link there to a 49-minute summary of what I think shows Trump's parade around the world in 2017, showing the capitulation of the leaders in the European leader governments, in the Vatican, and in Israel. Now, whether that's true or not, or if that's just a psyop from the black hats, impossible to say. And that said, I don't think we have long to wait. I think this coming next week with the midterms, there's going to be some breakthrough one way or another.
Yeah, I'd like to just make the link here because we talked about assassinations and very topically in Pakistan, former President Imran Khan was shot the other day. And that was suggested to be a major attempt again by the black hats to stem the rise of the BRICS nations. The BRICS nations, as we said, have 90% support for Putin. Putin seems to be a true statesman for those countries, isn't he? He seems to be leading the way in terms of a more honorable, open system, an alternative to the corrupt Western hegemony that we've been seeing. And I think to my eyes, maybe to your eyes too, that the rise of these nations is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's actually very helpful to those of us who believe in fairness, in a true open society. And, you know, that I do tend to think that the three centers of corruption, the Vatican, Washington, D.C., and the City of London, I think they have to be usurped. And as you said, the Trump's journeys in 2017 to these states, to the different areas, it was this kind of signal, wasn't it? That the hard work was being done then. And what we're seeing now is the mopping up operation. And we're very nearly done. We're in the home section now. And I do like to think that we're coming to the midterms in the US. The possibility of a false flag, the Dems don't want that to go ahead. You know, panic measures, aren't they? Panic measures. Maybe the assassination attempt on Imran Khan with another final shake of the dice. You know, I do get that sense. Do you get that sense too?
Well, Putin has linked the ruble to gold, and that is key. So once you really are confident with the factual status that the central banks, the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve System, the EU Bank, they're fraudulent. They're creating they're the problem. They're working in antithesis to their stated goals. They're maximizing inflation. They're maximizing unemployment. They have no interest to the public. They were able to win the political right to create what we use for money as a debt owed back to them. So it is just ridiculous what they were able to get away with. And we'll see what breaks out this week. It could go either way from the information that we see. And yet, as I said, with the totality of information, I'm at 95%. We're going to get a breakthrough for the good, but it may look very scary as a cover story as these arrests unfold.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Joe Possmer, you've been very quiet on this. I mean, what are your thoughts on what's been going on?
Yeah, well, as far as the Q thing, General Flynn did come out and say that it seems like to him like it was just a CIA operation. He seemed pretty confused about it. Whenever Trump was asked about it in the lines at the rallies, Trump likewise seemed quite confused about it. Now, of course, that could be part of the cover story. So who knows? There was actually a Q post a few months back during the J6 committee hearings or whatever they were having. And they had this silly lady that was obviously put up there just to, as a pant to make fun of the whole hearings. And then right at that point, there was a new Q post sort of pointing that out. So it seems like that Q operation had finally been found out, and whoever was doing it had been ejected and the account was taken over, it looks like, is what happened with that eventually. Ultimately, I mean, maybe it was White Hats, maybe it was working with the White House, maybe it was a troll operation against Trump saying that, look, we're pretending we're with you. We're pretending we have our own spy apparatus agency, however it is we do it, and we can, coordinate our posts with when you're tweeting. That's how much we're keeping an eye on you. Imagine if it was something like that. It'd be pretty disconcerting to the White House, Trump. So who knows what happened with all that stuff. Doesn't seem like anything. I mean, it all just dropped off and it's been over now for years. Going forward, yeah, I mean, let's see what happens. There's a great meme going around, but I mean, it's not just a meme. People are commenting on this, saying that if the election results aren't finished basically that night, then it tells you something is going on. When they come out and they say, oh, we are not going to be able to evaluate the results for this district tonight, it's going to take 3-4 more days. That's telling you right there that they're, gerrymandering it and jigging it to get the result that they want. It doesn't take that many days. Results can be found out that night as they came in, basically. So we'll see what happened. We saw what happened with Brazil. The people actually stood up and actually did maybe what the American people should have done and didn't do. So we'll see what happens this week.
Biden came out, it was either yesterday or on Thursday, in a speech, and he flat out said, look, you have to be patient with this election because of the number of people who have sent in their mail-in ballots. And then he lied. And the lie he said was, many of these states don't start counting the mail-in ballots until after the election. So be prepared for a few days of waiting until you get the result. So they're prepping this to steal the election. Again, and my favorite part of evidence to demonstrate that the 2020 election was stolen was the legislative hearing in Pennsylvania, where a state legislator said, okay, so they stopped counting in the middle of the night, and then they resumed. And when they resumed, there was this one batch of so-called votes for Biden, 600,000, and only 3,000 for Trump. That's a 200-to-1 ratio. If you assume a 50-50 start, 200-to-1 would be like flipping a coin 200 times and you only get heads. That's mathematically impossible with a number with 60 zeros behind it. So that slam dunk proof of election fraud with that batch of votes, that number of the impossibility of 200-to-1 odds with a 50-50 chance, it is more likely that you would win the super lotto 4 consecutive times than it is for that result not to have been election fraud. Right. So they're setting it up to either steal it or postpone it because the Democrats cannot have an honest election because they would be wiped out.
So you think it's not going to be honest, whatever happens, whatever is coming up this week? It's just not going to be a good situation then?
Yeah, I mean, the history of that, in 1996, Chuck Hagel, he was the CEO and the director of the board of, I think it was ES&S, one of those early election voting machine companies. And in 96, Hagel ran for the Senate in Nebraska. He ran against the state's most popular governor, and as having somebody with no political experience using his own company's voting machines to count the results, he had a surprise election victory into the Senate. And since that time, I would show my students, I forget these guys' names, but they were at Princeton and Stanford, and they demonstrated again and again and again how vulnerable these voting machines are to being hacked and flipping the election. And that in their opinion, and I assert this is factually true, the existence of these counting machines, because they destroy a unique receipt for every vote that is absolutely independently verifiable at the end of the election, they destroy the definition of the election. And the Princeton and Stanford professor, they flat out said, is that the design of these machines is to rig elections, not to facilitate them.
Yeah, well said, Carl Herman. And I'm going to wrap it up there. Carl Herman, you're available. You're a professional historian. Your blogspot is carlbherman.blogspot.com. It's been a pleasure having you. You want you on again very, very soon. Thank you very much for appearing on Sky Dragon Slaying.